Okay, sweetheart, listen. I want to read for you a complete book, but I don't believe that we're able to do it in one day. There is a whole book that I need to read to you, but not on the way that I'm reading Likutei Moran. It's a book that calls Shivchei Rabbi Chaim Vital, Praises of Rabbi Chaim Vital. And I think I'm gonna start translating and reading to you fast as I can. And if we were not gonna complete it today, probably, so we're gonna continue next week. It's very important, very amazing, just to see Mamash revealing of face of Hashem Yitbarach in private supervision. Amazing, amazing thing. Okay, we're on. So praises of Rabbi Chaim Vital. In the year of 5301 to the creation, when Rabbi Chaim Vital is telling, when his father was still outside of Eretz Israel, he had a visitor, a Talmid Chacham, one huge, great Talmid Chacham, and his name was Rabbi Chaim Ashkenazi. And he told him, you should know that in the future you're going to go to Eretz Israel to live there. Rabbi Chaim Vital was in the future, was in the, a student of the Ari HaKadosh. He was the main student of Ari HaKadosh. So he told him that Talmid Chacham told his father of Rabbi Chaim Vital, told him you need to go to Eretz Israel and to live there, and there you're going to have a boy, and you're going to call him Chaim, that it's my name, that rabbi's name, and he's going to be a huge wise person that will not going to be like him in his generation. And after 2 years that my father came to Eretz Israel, I was born, and it was the year of 5303 to the creation. Wonderful. In 5014, he was 12 years old, and there was one huge Talmid Chacham over there that he knew how to read palm on the hand. Wonderful. And he looked at my hand and my palm hands, and he told me, you should know that when you're going to be 24 years, you're going to have a lot of bad thoughts in your heart to cancel from learning Torah. 2 years and a half, you're going to suffer from that. And after it, you're going to have two ways, one for heaven and one for hell. And then you're going to have the free choice in your hand. If you're going to choose hell, there will not going to be an evil person like you in your generation. But if you're going to choose the way, the path to heaven, so you're going to climb in wisdom and in your atchet, to be very frum and not to sin, on all of your generation. Something that you cannot imagine. 317, Rabbi Yosef Karo, he told my Rebbe, the Rav Al-Sheikh, that he heard from the angel, the Magid, that was speaking with him, that he should teach me very, very much with all of the powers that he can, because in the future, I'm going to lead the generation after him. I'm going to fulfill his place. And he told that to me also, Rabbi Yosef Karo, that he heard from the angel, from the Magid. And he told me that half of the world exists because of my father, by the kosher tefillin that he was writing, and half of the world exists by me. Nice, huh? Rabbi Chaim Vital? 5025. There was in Tzfat a huge Talmid Chacham over there. His name was Rab Lapidot Ashkenazi. And he knew real futures. And he would bring souls of people that passed away, even from ancient generation, and he would tell him everything that he wanted. One day I walked to him to ask him on certain issue, and he wasn't honoring me at all because he didn't know me nothing. And in the next day I came back to his house, and when he saw me, immediately he stood up on his legs and he respected me with huge, great honor, and he told me, please forgive me on the fact that yesterday I didn't treat you right because I didn't know the value of your soul until yesterday night, that they told me from heaven, who are you, your qualities, and now I'm going to give you a good advice, that you have to remove all of your thoughts from issues of this world. And all of your thoughts are going to be only to climb and to rise in great levels according to the greatness of your spirit, of your soul. Something that you cannot imagine. So you need not to think on yourself at all as a low spirit, a low soul. Just you should know that you're a very high soul, because this is the truth. So strengthen yourself in your effort, in your job, like that we found on Chizkiah. and you should know that you don't have no sin, just only one sin that you hold in your hand that came to you a few days ago. And if you're going to fix that sin, you're going to achieve something that you cannot imagine. When I came after a while to my Rebbe, means the Ari HaKadosh, he told me all of those words also. And then I told him that also the Rav Lapido told me, and I found both of those things the same. 5057 was a certain woman that she knew how to read drops of oil on the water. A person would drop oil on the water and she knows future from that, you know, things. And she told me things that I was very scared. She told me, I was very scared from what that I saw in that oil. Because you in the future are going to rule, going to be the king on all of Am Israel with no questions, no doubts. And I think that it was in Sidon or in Tveria. And I never saw a great person as you, never, not in that generation, not in wisdom, by that whispering of that oil. 300 and... No, so before it wasn't... No, Hashanah Nizkeret. It wasn't 57. When I said 57, it's a short to the word Nizkeret. Means it was still 25, now we're in 30. 5,330. There was a certain wise woman that she would talk futures, and she knew also on drops of oil, and all of her words were truth. And I asked her on the oil to whisper like that, that it was allowed to do, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and she didn't know how to answer to me until that she took upon herself the spirit of jealousy, means holy brazenness, and she strengthened herself with her whispers, and she stood up on her legs, and she fell on the floor and kissed Rabbi Chaim Vital's legs. She bowed to him, she kissed his legs, and she told him, "Forgive me that I didn't recognize the greatness of your soul. You're not from the level of the souls of this generation at all. Just from the first, from the Tanaim. This is what that I saw in that oil. And here the answer for your question, they showed me that in the oil, that it's written in letters. And those are the words. On that person that asked, they said, Rabotenu said in the Midrash, in Shir HaShirim, on Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom, Lebe'er Maim Chaim Nov'im Umtukin Me'od Me'od Amok Amok Mim Tse'enu. Very deep water that coming from the well of life water, that are very, very sweet and very, very deep. Who can reach it? And no one knows how to take the water out of him until they're going to come one wise person and took a rope and tied a bucket and took it down and took all of the water. And you are that person, and you have the ability to know that wisdom that calls Kabbalah. You're the only one that's able to find it. And on it you ask, and you should know that you're going to achieve it. Like that story, on that wise person. And what did no one else achieved it before? From a lot of generations. And this is going to be by a wise, huge person. This is the Ari HaKadosh, that's going to come in the end of this year to Tzfat from the south, like from Egypt, and he's going to teach you that wisdom. This is what that she said, and really, actually, in that year came my Rebbe, the Ari HaKadosh Zal, from Egypt, and he taught me that wisdom. 31. I started to learn with my Rebbe, and in that year, he told me a lot of secrets of combinations of letters to say Yichudim. And he sent me to the grave of a certain cave of the grave of his father, and to learn over there with that yichud. And he been glued to the soul of his father, attached himself to the soul of his father with those yichudim, and he spoke with me the same words that I wrote in a different contrast, in a different book. Year 34, came to me a certain rabbi, Rav Mas'ud HaKohen, from the city of Tzfat. And he told me that when he went out to talk to a certain person, to say goodbye to a certain person named Avraham Shalom, and that person told him, "You need to go, lech lechayim ul shalom, go to life and peace." And he told him the explanation of those words, that he should come to me, to Rabbi Chaim, Lech Lechaim ul Shalom. Chaim, this is Rabbi Chaim, to go to Rabbi Chaim Vital, and tell him hello, tell him Shalom. Send my regards. So he gave him all of the signs that he's going to recognize me, and he told him, tell him that I said that he is Mashiach ben Yosef, and he should go to Jerusalem, and to live 2 years over there minimum. And in the third year, he's got a choice. If he will want, he's going to stay there. But after the first year, he's going to have the spirit of Hashem Yitzbarach to wake up his heart. And from that day, he's going to have a lot of arguments on him from the people from the city of Jerusalem and the Galil. And people from Egypt going to help the people from Jerusalem. Means it's going to be a huge argument on him. But with all of that, the people of the Galil gonna win and gonna bring back to the generation over there in the Galil. They're gonna bring peace back to the generation, and thousands and thousands of Am Yisrael gonna gather with you, and you're gonna rule, conquered on them. All of those prophecies didn't happen in the end because we're gonna see it in the future. But amazing story. And after it, you're gonna rule on them and gonna teach them Torah. And after it, you're gonna go there and you're gonna become to be Mashiach ben David. Someone gonna be Mashiach ben David, and he, maybe the one that he's talking to, one of them gonna be Mashiach ben David, one of them gonna be Mashiach ben Yosef. If the generation is going to have the merit for that. And you should be careful when you're going to walk to Jerusalem, not to take people with you, because they can damage you very much. Because when, and also when you're going to be in prison because of that reason that you took people with you, it's written on Mashiach ben Yosef that he's going to die. But don't worry, I'm going to try to put all of my effort to save you from that decree that you are not going to die. Because on you, it's been said, Chaim sha'al mimcha natata lo. Life he asked and life you gave him. Yesterday night I heard a story. I tried to call you but you weren't available. On Rav Leibovitz, that he said to his helper, Tavili Leben, bring me Leben. So the helper went to the makolet and brought him Leben. While he brought the Leben, so he started to laugh. So he asked him, why are you laughing? So he told him, when you told me to bring you Leben, Leben in Yiddish means life. So he actually asked Hashem Yitzbarach, Ten li chayim, give me life. And you told me, Tavili Leben, bring me Leben. But the truth is that you were asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you life. So you see the tzaddikim, they're doing a few things in the same time. They're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time. You told me, bring me Leben, ask for life from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's been said on him, Chaim sha'al mimecha natata lo. Ask him for life and you're going to receive it. So Mashiach ben David is going to ask for Mashiach Yitbarach to give life to Mashiach ben Yosef, that his name was Chaim. Now we can understand that Rabbi Chaim Vital was supposed to become to be Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben David now is talking to him, someone that is able and the potential to become to be Mashiach ben David, tells him, don't worry, I'm going to pray on you, I'm going to work with you together, don't worry, we're doing it, don't worry. 5,337, I went to Egypt and we met a Talmid Chacham from the land, from Eretz Israel, and he told me everything that Rav Mas'ud told me. He saw the same vision that we just now explained on the Rav, Rabbi Avraham Shalom, that we spoke about. 38. I was teaching in Jerusalem in public, and it was Shabbos morning, and there was a woman over there, the sister of Ri Mish'an, and she told that all of the time that I was talking, she saw a pillar of fire stand up above my head, and that Eliyahu Anavi was supporting me from the right side. And when I finished talking Torah, both of them went, disappeared, the pillar of fire and Eliyahu Anavi. And also in Damascus, the same woman saw a pillar of fire above my head when I was a shliach tzibur in Yom Kippur in a prayer of Musaf in the public of East Kerline. And that woman, she was used to see things when she was awake, visions, and she was very righteous from the days that she was very young until that she was very old. In the year of 39, when I was in Jerusalem, Sunday, came to me in the morning the helper of Beis HaMikdash, means an Ishmaeli goy that was taking care of the area of Beit HaMikdash. And he hated the Jews in his nature. And he came to me and he kissed my hands and my legs. And he begged to see my face, that I'm going to bless him, and that I'm going to write for him two or three words for my handwriting, anything that I want to write, that he's going to hang it on his neck as a kameah. I say kameah.
Amulet.
And that I'm going to ask him, please, why he changed his behavior against me, that he hated me until now, and now he loves me. And he answered immediately, because now I know you, that it's not your way to be the one that I hated before. And he told me, here I know that you are Ish Elohim, man of God, holy. You are holy, because I am working in the area of Beis HaMikdash. And every night at midnight, I went out from the entrance of Beis HaMikdash to pee. Can say to pee? Allowed to say to pee? Yes? No?
Small ones.
To urinate. To urinate.
That's not number one.
To do number one. Ba'azara. This was what he was doing. Every night at midnight, he was going to urinate in the Azara in Beit HaMikdash. This was his Tikkun Chatzot, that Ishmaeli. Every night at midnight, he wakes up to go to urinate in Beit HaMikdash in the Azara. And when the moon was very illuminating, like in the noontime, it was daylight, and I looked above, and I saw you flying in the air, wandering, flying above Beis HaMikdash. One long hour. And I saw that it was you. No questions, no doubt at all. 40. The year of 40. 5,340. Came to me to the creation. Came to me one from Ashur to Tzfat. His name was Rabbi Abba. And he asked on me. And they told him, here he is in Jerusalem. And he told them all of what that he heard on me. And he came to Jerusalem. And he came to my house and kissed my hands and my legs. And he told me, when I went out from Ashur, a huge, great Talmid Chacham came, an old person, came to me and commanded me. He told me his name, but I forgot that name. And he was a huge Hasid person. Sits alone and mitboded all of his days. All alone and mitboded. And he doesn't see faces of people. And Eliyahu Hanavi is with him all of the time. And he commanded me to ask, how are you? And to ask from his name that he's asking. And I will tell you everything that everything that your Ashkenazi Rabbi told you about the way that your means the Ari HaKadosh, the Rabbi Ashkenazi, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria Ashkenazi. So when he explained to him on how his soul came to this world, it's written in Shara Gilgulim, a long explanation over there. Who are you? He had a Mary to know, to hear who he is, where his soul came from Rabbi Akiva, and a lot of explanations. So you should know that it's all true and stable, and don't give up, because all of those prophecies gonna become. And if you would know the greatness of your soul, you would be scared. This is why don't reject the words of your rabbi from your eyes, because they are a good, great thing for you in the future to come to Am Israel by you. And if you think you're too small, you need to know that you're the head of the tribes of Am Israel. And all of his days he's got a desire to see your face, that old and hidden tzaddik over there in Ashur. Wants to see your face, just he doesn't have the powers because he's very old and tired. The year of 50 came from Paras, one person. His name was Rabbi Shaltiel Al-Sheikh. We have still time? Yes, we have. Oh, Hashem. And he sees visions when he's awake. And he's very wise and chassid. And he's fasting all of his days. And he told me that always they're showing to him that the redemption of Am Yisrael depends in me. By that I'm gonna achieve it Israel b'tshuva, that I'm gonna wake up Am Israel to do tshuva. And they're telling him the level, the greatness of my soul, my spirit. And also until now, in the now his writing that he wrote it in the year of 5370, means 20 years later. He is still writing to me letters on what did he on his sights, on his visions about my spirit and on the matters of the redemption that depends in me. In that year, my Rabbi Haram al-Sheikh was teaching in a certain backyard of a kosher Ashkenazi woman, and one day she saw him sitting and he suffered, he was sorry. So she asked him why he's suffering so much. So he told her, the Rav al-Sheikh told her, "How won't suffer on my student, Rabbi Chaim Vital, that he doesn't want to teach me the wisdom of Kabbalah? How won't be sorry that my student, Rabbi Chaim Vital, doesn't want to teach me Kabbalah?" So she asked him, "How can it be that your student is greater than you?" So he told her that when he met my teacher, the Ari HaKadosh, when he was exist, the Ari HaKadosh, he went to talk to him one day. And he cried and he begged to him, to the Ari HaKadosh, the Rav al-Sheikh begged to Ari HaKadosh to teach him the wisdom of Kabbalah, he himself, and not by me. So the Ari HaKadosh answered to him, to Rav al-Sheikh, that he didn't come to the world for no other reason except of to teach me, to teach Rabbi Chaim Vital alone. And he cannot reveal the wisdom of Kabbalah by no one else except of by me, by Rabbi Chaim Vital. And he told him, "How can it be? Because I was his rabbi, so how can I be his student?" So he told me, "You wish to have the merit to be his student. Because if not, that it's been said by Rabotenu that a person will not be jealous, not at his son and not at his student. If I..." Ari HaKadosh is telling me myself, if Rabotenu wouldn't forbidden us to be jealous at our students, I would be jealous at him. You don't know who he is. The Ari HaKadosh is saying that on Rabbi Chaim Vital. I would be jealous. I would be envious. What he's got in his hands. On the greatness that in the future will come through him, something that no one can imagine. In that year, his wife Chana was sick, in a very hard sickness. And in Shabbos, she was dying. And she couldn't feel nothing in her body at all. And in Motzei Shabbat, we all came, gathered her bed, to surround her bed, to see the soul comes out from her body. And suddenly she opened her mouth and she said, "Birkat, the blessing of Atzeh Besamim." So we asked her, "Why you said that bracha? No one brought Atzeh Besamim." So she answered in a low voice, like Ke'ov me'eretz, like a soul that came out from the ground, a foreign voice, a weird voice, low voice. "You should know that now they took my soul to hell, and I saw that they were lighting the fire that was off in Shabbos, and I smelled the bad odor, bad smell of fire and gofrit." I say gofrit?
Sulfur.
What?
Sulfur.
Sulfur. A very strong smell. And after it, they took my soul and other souls to heaven, to a field that is in front of heaven. And over there are trees of hadas. I say hadas?
Myrtle.
Not the turtle.
Ah,
Avram taught me about Myrtle the turtle. So, they took us to smell that good smell of myrtle. That we're going to smell the good smell to remove the bad smell of gofrit, of hell. And then I blessed Birkat Atzeh Besamim, the blessing over there. And after it, I asked them to take me, to show me in heaven, to show me the place of my husband in heaven, the place that prepared to my husband, Rabbi Chaim Vital, in heaven. And they took me to heaven, and they brought me to a big backyard that was all planted with trees of good perfumes, and nice fruits over there. And in the middle of that yard, there was a swimming. There was a pool of water, a big one that novat, flowing, live water. In the middle of it, there was a big
spring,
like Silon Gavoa, like
a fountain.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That through it, there was the water are coming and going everywhere. to the air, very strong, and then they're falling, coming down, and filling that pool with the water. And there are a lot of lights, like sparkling glass of gold and silver that comes up with the water over there and running. So I asked them, what are those? So they told me, to the wife of Rabbi Chaim Vital, those lights are the souls of your children that died when they were young. And they're always in the water of those pools of their father in heaven. Because all of that yard, garden, is, and all everything that's inside, it's a share of their father in heaven. After it, I saw in another side, in that garden, a ladder. And people would climb to an attic over there. And in that side, there was a certain room that was covered with a roof. And three walls over there. And the fourth wall was opened wide to see from there the pleasures of those trees of that yard, of that garden. And a lot of Talmidei Chachamim was sitting over there in that attic and were learning with my husband. And I saw over there a huge Talmid Chacham that was wrapped in his talit sitting over there. And I asked on him, who is he? So they told me, this is the Rabbi Ha'ari HaKadosh Zal Ashkenazi, the Rabbi of your husband. So I asked him, and how? He is sitting all alone. Why is he sitting all alone? So they told me, because over there in heaven, he always sets his place with your husband. Not in his own place. He chooses to be with your husband instead of to be in his heaven. He rather to stay with your husband in his heaven. So I wanted to climb in that ladder to see the place of my husband that he sits, and they didn't let me. And they told me, you don't have the permission to enter. Even in no one of the houses, the rooms are over here, even in the backyard. Only you can stay in the garden, you cannot enter. And even more so, to the attic, for sure you cannot enter. Because all of them is a share of your husband in heaven. And you, only because you had the merit to be his husband, his wife of your husband, it's written to be his wife, so they wouldn't let you, even if not that you were his wife, so they wouldn't even let you to see, even. So say thank you, and don't argue. In that garden, she met a certain rabbi, and I don't want to mention his name, and my husband was very angry at him, and he was rebuking him, and he told him, go away from this place, from very far from here, because you don't have the permission to be here with me. When she finished telling all of that, she was quiet like that she was before until the morning. And then she opened her eyes and she came. She woke up and she became to be well. So we asked her if she remembered anything that she spoke yesterday in Motzei Shabbat. So she said that she doesn't remember anything at all. And it seems Rabbi Chaim Vital is saying that all of that was a rebuke for that rabbi. You see, he doesn't take nothing for himself. All of it was only to rebuke that rabbi that he rebuked in her vision. This is what the tea sees, Rabbi Chaim Vital. He doesn't hear what that she's telling on his heaven, that his rabbi wants to be. He doesn't hear all of that. That was his lacking. That was his mistake. He could not believe in his greatness, Rabbi Chaim Vital. That was his problem. He didn't believe in himself. He failed. He failed in his mission, even though that he made amazing things. No one can understand his greatness. No one. We're not Chassid Shalom talking bad on him. But he himself admits, he could not believe. Also Rabbi Natan is telling that. He couldn't believe that. After Rabbeinu passed away, Rabbi Natan realized, okay, there is no one here, so I'm going to work. But Rabbi Chaim Vital, he was refusing to receive his greatness, who that he is supposed to be. You see here, from all of that vision, he is saying all of the reason for that vision was probably to rebuke that rabbi, that I had a certain anger on him, and he had to hear it, that he cannot be with me in heaven because that I'm angry. So he took that rebuke, for Hashem. Year of 64. I was sick myself, a big sickness that you cannot imagine, and I sat for 21 days without feeling nothing. All of my senses were numb. And in the 22nd day, it was Motzei Shabbat, and people were surrounding me to see the soul comes out from the body. They were waiting. And they said that in the beginning of that night, I opened my mouth four times, like when the soul is supposed to go out. And after it, I opened my eyes, and I was looking in front of my, to the wall, to the eastern wall. And I saw over there two pillars of fire, one from red fire and the second from green fire, like the grass, that one is red and one is green. And I was bowing to those pillars of fire, and I was looking at them until the middle of the night. And after it, those pillars of fire went, disappeared. And they stood in the north wall until it was dawn. And my eyes, I didn't remove my eyes from those pillars of fire all night. And I was just like that, about to die, without feeling nothing. People thought that I started to recover, and that I was observing in the Shekhinah, People thought that the fact that I was, that the way that I was looking on those pillars of light was like that I was looking at the Shekhinah, like that it said in the Gemara that righteous people in their life they cannot see, but before their death they can see. So they said to me, "What do you see?" They saw that I was looking at something, so they asked me, "What do you see?" So I told them. So they said that actually it's not the time of his death, because he didn't watch the Shekhinah. And he saw over there that, and then he told them that they told him in heaven, Rabbi Chaim Vital, that they haven't completed to build his place in heaven, because it's a very wide, huge place in heaven. So I'm not about to die yet. And I was stiff like a stone. And in the morning, I forgot everything that I said to those people, but I remembered everything that happened to me about those two pillars of fire. And he felt a lot better. And all of my senses came back to their place, except of the power of eyesight, because his eyes were still totally dark for another 7 days. After it, he started to see a little bit, until they finished 40 days. And from that day and on, his eyes were dark like clouds, flames of fires from those pillars were in front of his eyes all of the time, up and down all of the time. After it, in 1 year, he went to a certain place, to a certain Falil. Falil, it means a sheikh, something like that. I think it's a certain sheikh, an Arabic wizard, something like that. Mechashef, black magic. Medicine. That his name was Sheikh. He is a Sheikh, Sheikh. And he was Nin Iyov, from the seed of Iyov. And he knew a lot in medicines of people that had been damaged from the demons. And I wanted to ask on this, on his wisdom, and also to ask him on the fact that his eyes were dark. When I came to the entrance of his backyard from outside, he was at his house, and the house was full with people, men and women, very important people, and there was a young kid running outside, and I told him, "Go tell the sheikh that there is a Jewish person that wants to enter, and give him permission to enter." So that kid ran, and here the sheikh is coming out very fast, and told me, "Come in, Jewish, the wise person of all Jews. Why a great person like you is suffering, putting effort to come to visit me? If you would send your kid, I would run to you, to your house, to respect it. It's a big honor for me to come to you." And he put me in his seat, that he was sitting in front of me, and I was wondering on it very much, because he never knew me. And all of the non-Jews that were there also were very surprised to see how much he respects me. And I told them, And he told them, "Go away, because as long as the rabbi sits here, I don't know how to answer to you, nothing." And they all went. So I asked him, quietly, peacefully, my questions, and he couldn't answer nothing at all. And he tried in all kinds of wisdoms and whispers, but it didn't help him. So I asked him, "If you don't know how to answer to me, how you know to recognize me without that I told you who I am?" So he told him the reason is, so that sheikh told him the reason, that because all of the time he is making 7 kings of the demons to make oath, they're serving him. He is forcing the 7 kings of demons to answer to all of his questions. And they told me your greatness. And they told me that when you're coming, you're a holy, superior person, Jewish person. And we, the demons, cannot stand here while he's here. So immediately they left me alone and they ran away. And here I can see them standing over there on that mountain that's in front of us until you're going to go. They cannot stand in the same place of Rabbi Chaim Vital because of his holiness, of his Kedusha. This is why I cannot answer to all of your questions. He doesn't have his demons to answer. Because all of his knowledge is only by those seven demon kings. And they went. In the year of... you want me to keep on reading to you? Yes. From it's much amazing. In the year of 5,367, there was a certain rabbi that was praying Ma'ariv in the night of Motzei Shabbos in my house. And still they didn't light the candle in my house. When I stood up to pray, while people were... standing Shmona Esre, that rabbi saw, when he was awake, he saw with open eyes a huge ball, eyeball in the size of tefach stand up above my head and illuminating very much, and he been confused in his prayer. He couldn't finish his prayer. That huge rabbi that saw something like that, he'd been confused. 69 In Chol HaMoed of Pesach, there was a certain rabbi that came to a certain sheik house, an Ishmaeli sheik house, and he asked him, "Who is that Rabbi Chaim Vital, the Mekubal?" So he told him, "I'm not asking on you." He asked him, "Who is it, Rabbi Chaim Vital?" And then he told him, "It's not you. You're not Rabbi Chaim Vital. I'm talking on that person, Rabbi Chaim Vital, that he is a very high person, and all day long he is thinking in his heart and feels so sad on one issue, that he's expecting that issue to happen. But that thing is from the foundation, is not, and that issue is not from the foundation and fire and earth, just from the foundation of spirit and earth and the water. And things gonna be finished in a good way, very good way. Don't worry." And after it, he asked questions from a mirror. He had a mirror over there, and he was asking questions from that mirror. And they came. The seven kings of demons came, and seven servants of them came with them. And after it came another seven servants, different ones. And after it another seven, and after it another seven, until that they were all 28 kings and ministers of demons, except of the first seven servants that we mentioned, that they are standing over there in front of those demon kings all of the time. And all of those 28 kings are sitting on golden chairs, seats, and good stones and rubies, and have crowns that made out of gold and good stones and pearls, and they commanded to bring my picture. And when they brought it and they saw my face, they all stood up in front of me, and they gave me also a throne, one of theirs, and they asked me very much to sit in it, and I refused. And not only that, just I stood very far from them because I didn't want it to be contaminated with them. One of them asked, "Why that person came to the world if the redemption will not going to come in his days?" So one of the servants of the king that was ruling that day, of the demons of that day, said, "How you can ask on the redemption if your children are sinning in horrible sins? And even you have hatred with no reason, and twisting judgments, and not giving charity to orphans and to widows. And from that day and on, that person been born to the world, a huge great thing supposed to come to all of you. And the world started to illuminate, because it's a very great person, and divine, important in heaven. And he in his prayers can cancel a lot of bad decrees, and to decree good decrees, like he wants. And if he wants to glue two walls together, he's able to do that. And all of that because that he doesn't think on this world at all. Even on food he doesn't think. And he's got only desire to on issues, matters that depends in the world to come. And he suffered a lot to bring people to do tshuva. And you don't listen to his voice. And if you would listen to him, you don't know how many good things would come on you. And three people here, there are... Still have time. No. And there are three people here that they hate that person. And they're the reason that other people cannot hear him and to do tshuva. Think about the damage that people can cause if they're stopping a person that is righteous from teaching Torah. They can stop the geula. A person can be blamed in that he's stopping the redemption of Am Yisrael. So he, Rabbi Chaim Vital, is not allowed to listen to them, because in the end they all have to bow, to fall to his legs and to bow to him, and they don't see, recognize his greatness. And this is why there are a lot of troubles for them, and not only for them, in the future will come on them a lot worse, big, you know, huge troubles, because you don't listen to his rebukes and his words. And after those troubles, there are going to be four. Okay, so he's predicting something that's going to come, and going to be 10 people. This is a, that person is very important, and he's suffering all day long, hoping, and he's thinking about. And here is a very big, big rebuke on those people. Also, a lot of things that it's not appropriate to read, because those demons were talking, mentioning names of those rabbis and telling secrets, sins that they were sinning in a hidden mm-hmm. way. They were hiding their sins and rebuking on their children also, and telling on the women that were totally not modest and doing filthy things, and mamash were rebuking. And on him, on Rabbi Chaim Vital, they're just explaining that his soul just yearns always to teach Am Yisrael how to do tshuva. And they're praising him on the fact that he's dipping every day in the mikveh and it is very, very pure. And they told him, I want to read it more. I want to read you more. A lot of testimonies, and they're bringing a lot of proofs here from a lot of other righteous people in that generation, and explaining that he, Rabbi Chaim Vital, was supposed to strengthen himself. To go and to lachzir anashim b'tshuva, to go and to teach people how to do tshuva. This is the main thing. And they're telling him, also on Kabbalah, if you want to learn some more, okay, you're going to learn. But it's on the side. The main thing that they're telling him is always to go to Bate Midrashot and to teach and to go and to stay. And they're rebuking the people. Why are you not listening? Why are you not listening? You have to listen. You have to listen to what it is saying. And so, okay, a lot of other... a lot of testimonies. Okay, we're going to stop here for now. Hopefully we're going to have the merit to continue. But Rabbi Chaim Vital is asking him, I ask my Rebbe, he's saying, Rabbi Chaim Vital is asking his Rabbi, how can it be that you tell me that my soul is so high, so divine, like that it's written in the book Shar HaGilgulim? You can see that the smallest person in the first generation was a righteous man and chassid that I'm not even can reach his heels at all. I'm so far from him, so the Tanaim, from the Gemara. So he told me, you should know that the greatness of the soul is not according to the actions of the person. Just it depends in the time and in that generation that he is at. Because an action that can be very small in this generation, means that a very small act in this generation can count a lot more, like a lot of mitzvot in first generations. Because in those the generations of now, and we're talking the generation of Ari HaKadosh 500 years ago, it was heaven. If you think where we are at now. Because in this generation, the husks, the klipa, is very strong, very, very strong, that you cannot imagine. And it wasn't like that in the first generations. And if you would be there, Rabbi Chaim Vital would be there in those generations, your actions and your wisdom would be even more wonderful than few righteous people in that generation. So this is why don't be sad, don't feel sorry on that at all, because there is no doubt that your soul got a huge level that even up higher than righteous people from the first generation of the Tanaim and Amoraim. So I told my Rebbe, the Ari HaKadosh, I cannot believe in that. I'm sorry. He couldn't believe in that. He couldn't believe his rabbi. Your rabbi tells you your quality, your ability, and you don't follow. You don't obey. Why? Only to be punished? You want to be punished? You want to hear how worse you are, how bad you are, how mean you are, how awful you are? Why? He tells you you're good. He tells you you can do amazing things, and you don't take it. I told him there are a lot of huge righteous people better than me, with better deeds than I do in this generation. So why do you think that I'm so important? So he told me, you think that I will receive certain satisfaction out of teaching you? You're a small person of everyone, so why wouldn't teach the greater, the famous rabbis? You're right, they all want to cancel themselves to me. So from the fact that I'm teaching you, you should believe me that I know what I'm doing with you, that you are important, because it would be better to me to teach all of the rest of the righteous people, that they are a lot greater than you, right? Rabbi Chaim Vital wasn't standing in that test. He couldn't believe in himself. Our tikkun is to believe in ourselves. This is our tikkun. To believe in the greatness of our souls, to believe in ourselves, to know each and every one of us is a ben melech shasim avanim tovot, full with good stones, good qualities, amazing abilities, each and every one of us. Just to pray. Thank you very much. Chazak u baruch. Thank you. Love you.